So as we start our new year, we're going to focus on faith. We're going to start this exploration with an eight-week journey into the book of Jeremiah. The book is one of the major prophets of the Old Testament. And, well, I say that, some of you are probably already starting to yawn. I mean, this sounds kind of dull. I mean, what can a book that was written many thousands of years ago about a dusty old man have to do with me today? Some of you hear that name Jeremiah, and you might think, this is going to be depressing, 8 weeks. I mean, after all, Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. Margaret asked me if I was going to weep during this sermon series. I said, well, that depends. Remember, Jeremiah wept when he saw the city burn. So do I get a match? Let me play with fire, maybe. But you might think this is depressing because Jeremiah was called to minister to Judah, the nation of Judah, during their fall, one of the darkest times in the nation's history. To some, this might sound scary because I used that churchy word, prophet. So that means we're going to have prophecy. And when I think about prophecy, I think about all these images and all of these things and all of these symbols and all of this stuff that quite honestly, I get confused. And you know what? I just don't know if I'm ready to go that deep. Well, hold tight, because today, our total mission today is just to kind of wet your whistle for the study. Kind of get you in a place where you're ready, where you're not scared, you're not bored, and you're not depressed about what we're going to be looking at for the next 8 weeks. And just so you know, the book was indeed written long ago. Most date this book around 627 B.C. So if you're doing the math, that means this book has been around for 2,648 years. Wow, that's a long time for a book to be published, isn't it? And, it is a desperate time for God's people. If you go back in Israel history, after Solomon left the throne, the nation was divided into two nations. There was a war. They split. And then there were the 10 tribes that went in and formed one side, and then the two tribes formed the other side, and so they became two nations. And well, the nation that had the 10 tribes, well, they had already been hauled away into captivity about 100 years earlier by the Assyrian Empire. And now there's a new threat on the horizon as we turn into Jeremiah, and it's the kingdom of Babylon. And well, it has its sights set on Jerusalem, on taking away the last two cities, the last two tribes that are forming the last little bit of what would be called the nation of Israel. And well, the nation itself, well, God's people are living in rebellion. Now, over the 8 weeks, we're gonna dig into this a little bit more and start looking at the things that are going on in the nation. However, what you need to know is that Jeremiah was not sent to preach to the world. He was sent to preach to God's people. He was sent to deliver a message to God's people to call them back to faith. You see, much of the issue in Jeremiah's message that we're going to look at is aimed at the issues that plague our churches today. Notice I didn't say our church, our churches, all of the churches struggle with this idea of complacency. Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 3 through 5 reads, "Therefore, the showers have been withheld, no spring rains have fallen, yet you have the brazen look of a prostitute. You refuse to blush with shame. Have you not just called on me? My father, my friend from my youth, will you always be angry? Will your wrath continue forever? This is how you talk, but you do all the evil you can." See, Israel was calling out on God, asking God for blessings, asking God to protect them, asking God to save them, asking God to do a miracle. But you know what they weren't willing to do? They weren't looking to come back to a relationship with God. Now, just so you know, there are indeed a lot of images in this book. Now, that's a good and a bad. The good is, if you understand the images and you follow the object lessons that Jeremiah is going to use, then you know what? There's a lot that you can learn from this book about the idea of faith. The bad news is if you don't pay close attention to the imagery, then you know what? This book can indeed be very confusing. Many people try to use this book as some kind of secret code or a methodology for trying to determine when Jesus is coming back. There is some end time stuff in there, but you do understand the basic point of this was a call to the nation of Israel. So I got to give you one final note before we dive into this. This is going to be a straight-laced sermon series. Now, what does that mean? That means this is something different from the world of Barry. There's not going to really be any video introduction clips. You don't have to worry about what movie did Barry tap this week, because you know what? I didn't tap any for this. There aren't going to be any decorations. Okay? So I'm not going to go through and we're not going to gradually turn this city, this stage into the nation of Jerusalem. There aren't going to be any of that. This is literally going to be a walk through the book of Jeremiah. Now, I do want you to notice one thing. I didn't promise. I didn't say there would be no props. This is called Visions of Faith, and Jeremiah's got a series of object lessons. And probably the best way for you to understand the object lessons is to live the object lessons. So you've been warned. But this is about as straight-laced as you can get. This is not, though, going to be a verse-by-verse study of Jeremiah. Just so you know, the book is 52 chapters long. So that means if I took one chapter a week, it would take us an entire year to preach all the way through Jeremiah, and I don't think I'm interested in doing that because a lot of it is the same thing over and over again because it is the message of Jeremiah. So this is not going to be a week by verse by verse study, but so let me give you the basic outline of the book. First, we get introduced to Jeremiah. That's what we're going to do today. Then God gives Jeremiah a series of messages to deliver wrapped around some kind of an object lesson. Jeremiah delivers the message. Judah responds negatively because Judah didn't like the message that they got. And well, things just begin to unwind. In case you're wondering, am I going to save a spoiler? No. Spoiler, in the end, Judah fails. Judah falls. Judah doesn't listen to Jeremiah. Judah decides, I like the life that I have more than I want the relationship with God. Yes, I want God to bless me, but I want to keep living my life however I want, and God just has to deal with what he wants, when I want to do it. And eventually, Babylon is going to take Judah, and Israel will basically be erased from the map for about 70 years. Man, that sounds depressing. It can be. But there's really some encouraging and uplifting messages in this book if you take the time to look at them. So the first thing we got to understand is, who is Jeremiah? Well, we can find his introduction in verses 1 through 3 of chapter 1. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests of Anath, in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him on the 13th year in the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, through the reign of Jeroboam, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the fifth month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. So the important thing about what I just read is to give you some time context. So let me do the math for you. All right? If you go over to 2 Kings and you would look up all the names that I just said, and you would get yourself a piece of notebook paper out, and it told you, well, this king reigned for this long, and this king reigned for this long, and this, you can write all those kings down, all those people down, and then you can write all the years down, and you know what you find out? Jeremiah preached for about 46 years. Really? 46 years of ministry with the exact same message. He only got one message. How boring could that be? Well, God kept it interesting. But 46 years, Jeremiah was going to do this. And nobody listened to him. Man, how discouraging would that be? 46 years and you still don't get people to listen to you? That was Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah is a Levite. And he was the son of Pilakai, which was one of the priests. So what that means for you and me, if I brought this into modern day time, well, he lived in the territory of Benjamin, but he didn't live as a tribe of Benjamin. He lived in one of the little Levite cities. Okay? One of the little cities that was designated for just the Levites. So I guess kind of you can call that the parsonage. Okay? He was living in a land that he didn't actually own the property. It was just kind of given to the Levites because they were the ministers of Israel. And well, for all intents and purposes, Jeremiah was a preacher's kid. Now, why is that important? Well, I am not a preacher's kid. I know a few. And I know some that live in my house, and I know many that do not. And so when I give you this description of preacher's kids, it is not meant to be downgrading, but it's just who they become. And I'm going to explain to you why. You see, because preacher's kids can be very cynical when it comes to this church stuff. Most of them are pretty smart in Scripture. Okay, you don't want to play Bible trivia with them. You will get beat. Okay, because they're smart when it comes to Scripture. They see God's people trying to be godly, but they also see them for who they are. They get a ringside seat to all the struggles of ministry. Man, if it happens in the ministry and it's a problem, it comes to their house. And they also get a bird's eye view of all the hypocrisy in the church. Because of what their dad or their mom, if they're in ministry, whatever they're doing, because of that, they get a bird's eye view of everything that happens. And so I really couldn't blame them. I mean, when you see all of that, you can get very cynical when you hear about how spiritual people are trying to be. But you know what? You've heard the real conversations. You've seen the real story. And why is that important? Because this is Jeremiah the person. God picked cynical old Jeremiah to deliver the last message to Judah. He was called to do this. And that's important. God didn't pick the most godly person. He picked the person that would do the job the way that it needed to be done. Because you know what? This was going to be a hard, hard job for Jeremiah. So God had a plan, and this is what he tells Jeremiah when he calls him. First time that Jeremiah hears the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Now, this is important to us because God says, "Jeremiah, I formed you. I made you. I took the little piece of putty and I sculpted who you are, Jeremiah. Not only did I form you, but I knew you." And the idea of new here is actually the exact same word that we see back in Genesis when it says, "And Adam knew his wife." It's talking about intimacy. It's not talking about, "Jeremiah, I know your name. Jeremiah, I know your family. Jeremiah, I know your past." Jeremiah, I know you all the way to the deep down insides of your heart. Jeremiah, I know who you are. He says, "I set you apart." This message is very apropos for the day that we set two men into the title of deacon, because we set them apart for a ministry. But you understand, that's just us confirming what God has already done. God set Jeremiah apart. Jeremiah didn't fill out a job application and say, "Gee, I'm applying to be a prophet." No. This was God's plan. And you know what? He says, "Jeremiah, I need you to know this. I appointed you. Not the nation of Israel. Not the priests. Not your mom. Not your dad. I appointed you." Now, why is that important? Because if God formed him, and God knew him, and God set him apart, and God appointed, whose job was he doing? God's. Not man's. Because you know what? If you're doing man's job in ministry, you're eventually going to fail. You're going to be looking for the approval ratings. You're going to be looking for the things that are going well. You're going to get really caught up in this. And God said, "You know what? Don't pay attention to any of that. Pay attention to what I have called you to do." Now, for me and you, this is important, because in Psalm chapter 139, verses 13 through 16, we read, "For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full and well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body all the days." Oh, there's a good word. "Ordained for me, were written in your book before one of them came to be." See, that's talking more about me and you. This idea of who Jeremiah was, guess what? It's who I am. God formed each and every one of us for a unique purpose. Ponder that thought for a second. You have a purpose. You're not just a piece of junk sitting in the toolbox. God puts you in the toolbox because he has something that he wants you to do. There's something that needs to be done that God gave you the skill set to do. God gave you the ability to do. God made you for something. That's important for us to remember. He called us into a relationship with him. This is what it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 6. "And you are also among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ." You didn't wind up in here by happenstance. You didn't take a wrong turn into a relationship. It wasn't just one of those things you woke up one morning and said, "Oh, gee, I think I'll be a Christian today." God has been working through your life, your entire life, to get you to where you are today. And he has a calling for you. Now, here's the thing about a call. I can call somebody on the phone, but it does require one other thing, right? Somebody has to pick up. Just because I call you doesn't mean you're doing what you're supposed to do. You actually have to pick up and accept the call. And to do that, you have to understand God has a plan for you. This isn't just a Jeremiah thing. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11 says, "If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen." You understand, you have the same calling as Jeremiah. Okay. Well, now this book makes a lot more sense while we look at it. Because we're being called to come back to faith. Now, just so you know, Jeremiah got this great calling. God came to him and said, "Hey, Jeremiah, have I got a job for you?" And you know what Jeremiah's response was? Verse 6. "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am too young." Oh, come on, God. Go find somebody else. "Lord, this isn't for me." God, alas. I love that word. "Alas, Lord." God, you dialed the wrong number. Okay, you thought you were hiring a seasoned veteran and you called the kiddie club. "Lord, I'm too young for this." He gave God an excuse. And I love it. God looks at him and says, "But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say, whatever I have commanded you, do not be afraid of them. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." See, God sees through the excuses. You can give them to him. You can tell God, "I can't do this because..." But he knows Jeremiah's afraid. He does. He looks at Jeremiah and he says, "I know you're afraid, because you know what? Going into the world is one thing. Getting God's people to repent is a lot harder. Going to somebody that has no relationship with God, going to somebody that doesn't believe in God, going to that person and sharing your faith is a lot easier than going to somebody that's been sitting in faith for years and years and years and years, and they think they're doing it all right, and then you have to look at them, and you're the young guy, and you say, "You know what? You got it all wrong." Because you know what? You trampled their faith. You've shook their cage. You're ripping at their foundation to look at them and say, God says what you're doing isn't giving you what he wants in faith. And you know what? Jeremiah is going to pay a heavy price for this. We'll talk about that. But I do want you to see that word that he says, rescue. He promised he would rescue him. And again, there's some good in that. God promises, I will not abandon you. But then he also says, but there's some bad. There's about to be some danger. And as I look at that verse, as I look at those things that he's telling Jeremiah, and I look at that verse, he says, go wherever I tell you to go. Say whatever I tell you to say. Go and see all of these people. And by the way, I'm never going to abandon you. Never will I forsake you. Doesn't that sound familiar? Isn't that kind of the Great Commission? When he tells us to go into all the nations? Go wherever I tell you to go. Make disciples. Teach them. Baptize them. Teach them to obey all the things. There's the command to go and speak. And he says, while you're doing this, I will never abandon you. And I will never, ever, ever forsake you. And so with all of this in mind, Jeremiah gets his message. And here it is. What a wonderful message it is. Here is what it says. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over the nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. So Jeremiah's got a lot of work to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see a branch of an almond tree, I replied. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. Then the word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? I see a boiling pot. I answered, and it is tilting toward us from the north. As God looks at Jeremiah, he touches his mouth. He says, Jeremiah, I want you to see both sides of this. Yeah, you're going to build them up. And before you build them up, what do you got to do first? You're going to have to tear them down. Jeremiah, you're going to plant, but before you plant, what do you got to do first? You got to uproot. Jeremiah, you're not going to be received all that popularly because they're going to see you as trying to destroy them, to overthrow them. Jeremiah, I need you to understand the mission I'm calling you to is going to be a thankless job. Gary and Matt, like, can I come reconsider? Can I turn the certificates back in at the end of the service? No, sorry. No deposit, no return. God's called Jeremiah into a message. But he wants him to see exactly what this message looks like. So he gives him two visions. Both of them visions of faith. In the first one, he gives them an almond branch. Now, why an almond branch? Well, I am not a gardener, so I had to go look this up as to why an almond branch. And here's what I found out about the almond branch. The almond branch is one of the first plants to blossom in the spring. So, the almond comes up, and it gets its leaves, and it's all pretty, and it's all ready to go. You're thinking, cool, go get my basket. I'm going to have almonds. I'm going to have something to watch with my football game because I love to have a little bag of almonds sitting there. And so I'm going to be all good to go because we have leaves and blossoms. However, it's also the last one to produce fruit. So that means I'm going to see all the green and I'm going to have to look at all those blossoms. But I'm going to have to wait the entire season before I get any nuts off of that tree. You get what God is telling Jeremiah when he sees that almond branch? God is telling Jeremiah, this mission, this calling, it's going to take patience. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12 says, this calls for patience, endurance on the part of the people of God who keep his commands and remain faithful to Jesus. Jeremiah was being told by God, this is going to be a long term mission. Jeremiah, do not expect this to be like Jonah. You remember Jonah? Jonah got the easy job. He got to go out and preach one day and the whole city converted. Not you, Jeremiah. You're going to preach and preach and preach and preach and preach, and you're going to get tired of preaching, and they're going to get tired of you, and I'm just going to keep telling you, get up and preach some more. Because this is going to be a long-term mission for you, Jeremiah. To go back and call God's people to faith. Then he gives him another vision. And this one I understand a little bit more because I do like to cook. I can't plant and grow anything. I can't grow weeds successfully. Okay, I can't grow weeds. My yard is full of them. But I can cook. And just so you know, this is not the thing where a watch pot never boils. Okay, he's not telling Jeremiah to look at the pot until it boils. He tells Jeremiah, look, the pot is already boiling. You know what he's trying to tell Jeremiah? This is a declaration of urgency. You know what happens when a pot starts to boil? The water starts to evaporate from it. And if I leave that pot boiling very long, what am I going to have? A fire. Because what's going to happen is all of the water is going to boil out of it, and the heat's going to stay underneath it, and then the pot's going to start to... It's all going to go bad because you understand the water that is boiling inside of it is actually keeping the metal pot from melting. It actually works hand in hand. And once all the water is boiled out, you're going to have a disaster on your hands. And so the idea here is, Jeremiah, you do need to be patient, but you do understand this is urgent. You are on a time clock. He talks about the tilting danger from the north. That is indeed Babylon. You understand, Jeremiah, they aren't going to stop while you say, wait a minute, I'm having a really bad day. Could you hold your invasion one more day so I have one more day to talk? No, Jeremiah. Be patient. Wait on people to respond. Don't write people off. But be urgent about what you're doing. See, a boiling pot requires immediate attention. You can't just leave it and hope, gee, it'll do its job. No, it has to be tended to. So Jeremiah's mission would indeed require patience, but it must be preached with urgency. This is what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 16, for our mission. Be careful then how you live. Oh, be careful? Yeah, be careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. I'm often shocked when people tell me, oh, well, the world is just going, yeah, the world's going everywhere. It's going crazy. But you know what? The Bible told us it's going to happen. So why are we surprised? We have the end of the story, but yet we're shocked when God tells us the story. Our call is to live faithfully, but also to have living faith in the middle of all of that. So the application becomes, the Lord said to me, from the north disaster will be poured out in all who live in the land. I am about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms, declared the Lord. Their kings will come up and will come and set up thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. And they will come against and surround all the walls and against all the towns of Judah. I will pronounce judgment on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me and burning incense to the other gods and worshiping what their hands have made. How would you like to be the one to deliver that message? God is coming and he is not happy. And he's coming because of what God's people are doing. Did you catch those things that they're doing? They're worshiping other gods. They're worshiping things that they had made. They were beginning to worship themselves. God specifically outlines the events for Israel. And you know what? The story's the same for us. We know the end of the story, right? We know how the story ends. Man, if you've been in church any length of time, you understand all of this ends at some point. There is a final clock. And so what do we, the church, needs to do? As we begin to look at Jeremiah, what's next? I love it. This is what it says. Get yourself ready. Stand up. Say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified of them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. He looks at Jeremiah, and And he says, Jeremiah, get ready. And we know what that's like because you're running out of blanks, and eventually you're going to start putting your bulletin in your pocketbook or your pocket or wherever you put it inside your Bible. You're going to start packing yourself up because church is about to end. And so since you're going to leave and you're going to go out, there is this process of getting ready. Part of this sermon series is to get you ready to go out and share your faith and live your faith in the world. And he says, after you get ready, it's logical. Stand up. Why do we stand up? What's the only reason we stand up? We're getting ready to move. We're getting ready to change our position. We're not going to stay right where we are anymore. He tells Jeremiah, don't sit. Stand up. Get ready. And then he tells him, speak. Isn't it interesting? He didn't tell him to go out and live it first. He says, start speaking. Start sharing. Start telling the message that I've given to you. And then don't be afraid to live your faith. That's important because he says, you know what, Jeremiah, the moment you become afraid, I'm going to make you even more afraid. Why would God do that? Because you understand fear is a lack of trust. He wants everybody to understand. They got to stand firm. You got to pick a side. You've got to decide, are you going to be called into God's ministry or your own ministry? Are you following God or are you calling somebody else? When you look at these visions of faith, that's what this is all about. Where do you stand? As we unfold all of these object lessons, they're all pretty much going to have the same message behind them, but God has a little twist on every single one of them. God wants to know, where do you stand? Where are you going to go with your faith? Are you just happy with it right here? Because you know what? God says, this isn't enough. I want you to have a vision of faith that takes you out to the world. I want you to have a vision of faith that makes you speak. And you know what? You just can't help yourself anymore.